This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. It's Bish, Cakes, EB, and JP. We'll be back on Monumental Sports 2 on Friday for our Capitals Altcast. Hey, we're going to talk to Kyle Finnegan coming up in 25 minutes, the 2024 Nationals All-Star closer. So we will talk a little baseball with him.
By the way, also, I guess I'm going to do another. They want to bring back the old quarterback commercial quarterback breakdown, whatever the hell we called it.
Okay. Commercial break film study.
Right. So where you just basically look at one commercial break, don't let all the
correct.
Other,
then break them down.
Study it.
You have a grade on them.
Yeah, because it's kind of a joke anyway. But I'm going to do Will Howard. Okay, I guess Will Howard's in the news. People kind of mocking him a lot. So
yeah, don't let his combine performance taint you.
Well, he won a national championship.
He did. I put up our Junkies poll of the day, brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka and Surfside Lemonade and Vodka, the perfect addition to any gathering. Each can only 100 calories with zero carbonation for easy sipping. Find Surfside at your local bar. And in convenient variety, 8-packs at your local liquor stores. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly. And it's what we're talking about. Debo Samuel, you heard Dan Orlovsky talk about the addition. He says it doesn't necessarily close the gap between the Commanders and Eagles. So that's the poll of the day. Do you think there's still a gap between the Eagles and the Commanders after the Debo Samuel trade? You can vote at Junks Radio. Remember, we got another Buckets and Bets keyword. Listen for that coming up later this hour. Let's go to the phones.
All right, 800-636-1067. Let's go to Gary in Upper Marlboro. Gary?
Good morning, Junks. How are you?
Hey, good. Gary.
Good. I agree with Dan Orlovsky. I don't think that they've closed the gap with this move. There's a big gap between Philadelphia and Washington, and just not the championship game, the game that they played at FedEx or whatever that stadium is called now.
Northwest.
Remember, they lost their quarterback, I believe, in the first quarter, and their backup came in, and they put up 500 and some yards against them, okay? And but for a drop by that wide receiver, they probably win that game.
Devontae Smith,
Gary.
We talked about it.
Nobody thinks that they're Debo Samuel away from being right there with
winning
the
Super Bowl.
Yeah, nobody thinks that.
No, I get that. But the question was, do I agree with Dan Orlovsky?
Yeah.
And I'm saying that I don't think the Debo Samuel trade closes the gap at all. And
not
I
at all? Wait. You don't think it's an upgrade? You don't think it's an upgrade to bring in Debo Samuel and throw him the ball more than you're throwing the ball to guys like Zaccheaus and Noah Brown? I mean, I think it's a huge upgrade, actually.
I'm not saying it's an upgrade. I'm not saying it's not an upgrade. I don't think it closes the gap with Philadelphia.
I think it's the definition of closing the gap, right? If there's closing the gap completely, let's say the gap is 100, right? Does it move it to 90? Does it move it to 80? Or you're saying it's still on 100?
Because they gave up 55 points in the NFC Championship.
Well, they'll address that. Yeah. Okay? They're going to address
the
that
defense,
during
the defense is part of the problem. And I think this screen game that they're talking about, I think teams are going to adjust to that. I don't think you can just, you're going to score 30 points a game throwing screens. I think teams have more time because Jaden is the amazing quarterback that he is. Mm-hmm. Teams that are on the schedule are preparing for Jaden right now. They didn't have the ability to do that with 1 week with Jaden last year. They have all offseason to try to adjust to that offense.
I think it's overstated. Well, thanks for your call. It's overstated to say they didn't have time to prepare for Jaden all year. Every week, teams come up with game plans. Do they have an entire offseason? No, but believe me, by the end of the season, they know, hey, this guy throws a lot of screens. And look, if you have good blocking, which the Commanders found a way to have good blocking, you get positive yards. And I think if you add somebody like Deebo Samuel, who's really good in those small spaces and running over guys, those plays are going to net more yards than when you throw that screen to OZ or De'Ami Brown or the rest of the guys that he was throwing the screens to.
And a couple things. First of all, Debo's not going to catch 100% screen passes. He can get downfield. Believe me, just watch the 49er games. He doesn't just catch screen passes. He can get across the field. He caught a ton of balls, 15, 20 yards, and took it to the house. All right, he can do that. Number two, when Orlovsky says Debo doesn't close the gap, okay, but when you add another 25 players and a lot of those guys going to be on the defensive side, that might close the gap a little bit.
Sure.
I'm not saying that they're better than Philadelphia. Philadelphia was amazing this year. They've got Saquon. They've got two ridiculous receivers. They've got a
Jalen Carter.
They've got an unbelievable defensive end. They've got an unbelievable offensive line. I understand that Washington doesn't compare to that now, but they're going to get better. The roster will get better.
You have to give Adam Peters time to build
Not giving him time to build the roster.
He's been here for, I think, 13 months.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of work in front of him to take care of.
Going back to what I was trying to tell him and get him to answer, which he didn't. If you just make it up and say the gap is 100, all right, there's a definition of they didn't close the big gap to get it to zero, right? But maybe the 100 turned into 80.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe
you still have a gap.
That might still be a stretch, but he helps.
Yes.
He helps. He's an addition.
It's a net positive.
It's a net positive. It's a net,
Deebo
it's a net plus.
And long as he's healthy, as long as he bounces back from last year, because let's be honest, his numbers and his production last year were subpar. But you can chalk that up to the injuries, the pneumonia. There are a lot of mitigating factors.
It was a bad year
for Deebo last year.
It was a bad year. But he's coming back. He needs a contract. He's with a different team. He's going to be happy. He's got a legit number one healthy receiver as opposed to last year where he didn't. So everyone's talking about it. He reads it. Everyone's talking about how fat he is.
He should get a ton.
He's going to be in a great position.
He should get
this
a ton of touches in this offense, especially if those other guys depart.
All right, let's go to Alex in Silver Spring. Alex, what's up?
Man, you guys kidding me? Of course they closed the gap. We're talking about Jalen, who he has. Jalen, to be honest with you, they won the Super Bowl. Yes, is he really talented? I don't think so. Who got them to the Super Bowl? Who got them to the playoffs? Saquon.
He's not going anywhere.
I think Jalen Hurts was a big part of the equation. You're sleeping on a guy who throws touchdown passes, doesn't make many interceptions.
He was the MVP of the Super Bowl. Come on, you can't say he's not talented.
All the tush pushes, he's part of it.
But my whole point is, he had Saquon to bail him out. Now, who did Jalen have to bail him out last year? Man, good thing Eckler was, doing his thing. When B-Rob would be shut down, Eckler, or this and that. Now you have Samuel in the background.
Yep.
Man, he can do this, that, blah, blah. So, yes, it's definitely an upgrade. But I'm talking about for now. Now we just have to put – we don't have to put a lot. Jalen can turn 50 cents into $2.
You mean Jaden. You're saying Jalen. You're getting all your Jalen.
You're getting the quarterback slip.
Thank you for the call. All right.
I got to let him go. Sorry. You can't come in here and say that the quarterback for the Eagles isn't talented. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on.
Let's go to Reggie in D.C. Reggie, what's up, man?
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, Reggie.
Listen, man, of course it closes the gap. Because hold on, who's going to play cornerback for the Eagles? They just lost Slate. You can't put the slot dude outside, because from everything everybody's saying, he's not really an outside guy. So if you're just strictly talking about right now, us acquiring Deebo, so a lot of those, and I like De'Ami Brown with some of them screens with the speed, but if you look at, you take some of the targets from De'Ami and Zacchaeus, and now that's Deebo, who got to be, what, top five with the ball, run after catch? Maybe, run after catch with his physicality.
Yep.
Now you're talking about if you just close the gap with what we've done, and then the Eagles, they lost Slate. What are they going to do on defense? Now, Bond, he might go. The defensive tackle, he might go. But, again, strictly talking about right now and what both teams have done, of course we've made. Now, Eagles, the gap between the Eagles and the rest of the league is wide.
Yeah.
I didn't like Dan Orlovsky comment, because what he said in the first end, he said, you got, okay, this one move, you know, that doesn't close the gap. They need to be aggressive. Wait a minute. We was aggressive. There were a lot of teams that wanted Debo. We got him. He's better than the other. Take Terry out of the way. What receiver that's on our roster now is better than him? So
one.
How could you
there's one. It's
not
called,
say
his name's Terry.
Well, he said take Terry out.
Yeah, okay.
Well, Reggie, to be fair, like I'm saying about Washington, they're going to add pieces. Philadelphia's going to add pieces, too.
So and maybe DeGene can play on the outside. So they still
They drafted two.
They've got
corners.
Quinyon Mitchell.
Yeah.
All right,
they
he's really
guys.
Good. And then you move DeGene, who had a pick six in the Super Bowl.
Who's going to play slot?
I don't know.
Well, they haven't.
Bozeman's going to find a guy to play the slot.
The roster isn't finalized yet, bro.
I agree with that. But then again, that's the same thing you can say about Peters.
So I know. That's why I'm saying that. I'm
so
defending
I think
him.
The gap definitely. Now, I'm not saying that, okay, we can go toe for toe. But I think to JP's point, say if it was 100, it's probably 75.
Hey, closing the gap.
Yeah, close the gap
closing
a little
the
bit.
Gap. That's
but,
it.
But if I guess it is right. JP's right about sort of the idea of closing the gap. Are you talking about closing the gap to zero? Like equal,
yeah.
equal?
Or, I think it depends how you interpret it.
They definitely got better with Debo.
Like some people interpret it like, nope, they didn't close the gap. They're not as good. Well, that's not really my definition of closing the gap. My definition of closing the gap is, are you getting closer?
Yeah. No, they definitely got closer. But also, I think it's stupid to think, where do you stand versus them? Like one day into all this, like let's wait
yeah,
till
that's what
both.
We do.
I know, but we can talk about it. But but you know, like for Orlovsky to say that, it's kind of silly. I mean, we got a whole offseason ahead of
that's
us.
That's what I was saying. Yeah.
Well, the same reason though,
they're
we
just
go,
trying to fill time.
Know, it's the same reason we picked the schedule.
Yeah.
We'll go through the schedule and we don't know the full picture. We don't know who's going
to
be on the roster.
I know,
we'll
but
do
say,
it first time
a
that
team
schedule comes
close
out.
Close the gap after one player transaction is just weird.
I just look at it as sitting, you know. Like Cake said, Debo's better than any of the other options McLaurin.
I think they're better on the whole.
If he's healthy.
But they still have huge holes.
If Debo's healthy, he should have 125 to 130 touches in this offense, if not more.
Yeah.
And that's a huge boost.
7 to 9 touchdowns.
For Jaden Daniels. Let's hope that's the case.
I like that number.
All right, let's go. Let me see here. Let's go to Brendan in Fredericksburg. Hey, Brendan, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
So, like, of course it closes the gap. It doesn't mean that we've surpassed them or that we've equaled them. But getting Debo and them losing Darius Slay is two huge pieces. And who knows if Lane Johnson is not going to retire in this offseason. He's pretty close to that point in his career. That would definitely close the gap. But more importantly, they never stopped Jaden Daniels from moving the ball. 5 turnovers in our last regular season game, 3 turnovers in the playoff. And he still moved the ball on that defense all those games. So if we get our defense playing better, if we get some better pieces, but more importantly, a more cohesive unit, like if freaking Lattimore can get back to the version he was in with the Saints, that definitely closes the gap. We are easily the second best team in the NFC.
I think you're sleeping on Detroit. Now, Washington gave it to Detroit in the playoffs. But I would not forget about how good Detroit is offensively. Goff had a bad game against them, threw 3 interceptions. All right, but they've got a very good offense.
Of course.
We'll see what happens now that they want to have Ben Johnson calling the plays.
Yep.
We'll see if they're as good. And like I mentioned before, they get Hutchinson back. So don't sleep on them. And then we'll see what other teams emerge.
I think they're going to be good, yeah.
I mean, Packers will still be good.
I mean, at the end of the year, based on what Washington did to Detroit head-to-head, I would agree. They were the second best team in the NFC.
And by the way, the first game against Tampa, if you really want to look at it in the playoffs, it came down to a game-winning drive. Tampa was in position to score a touchdown, which would have put them up. Instead, they settled for a field goal because Baker botched on like 3rd and a half yard. He botched a snap.
Yeah.
So they were fortunate there.
Raymond and Clinton, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing this morning?
Hey, Raymond. How are you?
Hey, you know, it definitely closed the gap. When you can get a player like Debo, man, the impact that he can have on the offense, man, you know, that's a telltale right there. But I'm like this, man. You know, we already top 3 already without even the offseason even getting here. But with Philly, Detroit, and Washington, you know, those are top three teams in the NFC East. You know, where everybody's saying that they didn't make no significant changes with this one move. Of course they did. De'Ami Brown is better than all the other receivers, a la minus Terry on his whole receiving team, on his whole squad. So, I mean, teams got to look out for when you get a player of Debo's impact, he's going to make a difference on that offense. Defensive coordinator is going to have to plan for a wide receiver like Debo or a football player like Debo Samuels, you know, and that's what you want. You want impact players, and he is an impact player, not even talking about free agency and the draft is coming up. So, sure, we can make an impact in the NFC East, and we can contend with Philadelphia because we've done it before this year. Draft and free agency even came up other than the turnovers.
Well, they definitely can contend. They were in the NFC Championship game.
Thank you, Raymond.
They will contend.
Well, plus, you also got Debo for a fifth-round pick. Yeah. It's like, I mean, there's no player you're going to pick in the fifth round that's going to have an impact that Debo Samuel would have on your offense this upcoming season.
All right, let's do like, one more before
that's
the break.
You look at it.
One more before the break. Let's go to Pat in Mechanicsville. Pat, what's up, buddy?
Hey, man. How y'all doing today?
Hey, what's up? What's up, buddy?
Yeah, I think it probably, I'd say about probably 10 to 15% is what I'm thinking. You know, because you can use that guy, as long as he's healthy, you can use him in so many ways. You can put him in the backfield. You can run reverses with him. And Lord knows he's a stud once he catches the ball in the open field. And long as we go out and get two studs for the offensive line and a couple studs for the defensive line, we're going to even close the gap a lot better. And, you know, that's all I got to say. And I'm looking forward to it, the draft coming up and free agency. Yes. Y'all have a good one, man.
All right, yes, thank you, Pat. Appreciate it, buddy.
We can tell. We'll tell you're looking forward to it.
The biggest
difference. By the way, last year the Commanders in the fifth round took Dominique Hampton – and they took Jordan McGee.
Right.
All right. Well, and you get Debo.
What sort of impact did those guys make?
Now, so, I'm not saying they're bad players.
McGee was banged up, so right. he had a hard time seeing the field.
But all I'm saying is that's the type of player you traded for Debo.
Right.
Who can be a highly impactful player.
Well, think about the impact of the guy they drafted in the second round.
Yeah, Ben Sinnott. Impact, very right. Minuscule.
Mm-hmm. So anyway.
So the guy they drafted in the first round, that has changed the entire equation for this franchise because it seems like every year for, I don't know, the last 7 or 8 years minimum, we've talked about who the hell is going to be the quarterback.
Right.
They literally, this will be the first time, I think, in 8 years, they'll have the same starting quarterback in week one as they had a year before.
And the previous was what, Kirk?
Yes.
Kirk went back to back?
Yes. Because then, I mean, even, you know, the recent odyssey of Wentz, Fitzpatrick, Howell.
Well, that was all temporary because Kirk, they kept franchising.
Yes.
And you knew that wasn't going to work out.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
And they had Alex Smith in there. I mean, at least we've ended that part of the equation.
Yeah, they found him.
Well, they found a quarterback. We still have other pieces. I just think it's kind of preposterous for, I agree with the sentiment that we had five last second wins that are improbable, that are unlikely to duplicate that in 2 years in a row. But I think it's ridiculous to now say, well, you guys, you're not there because you just added one player or what. Of course, we just started the offseason.
I know.
Let's make this evaluation if we've closed the gap on Philly at the end of the offseason.
One thing I would say, yes, you're fortunate to win five in a row on the last play. I mean, Marcus Mariota did one of them.
Yeah.
But Jaden Daniels clearly has a knack for game-winning drives. He had it in college. He had it at Arizona State.
He's a spectacular player.
He had it at LSU. And so far in the NFL, he had it. He had it in week two against the Giants.
He's spectacular.
You know what I mean? Like,
there's no knock.
Their first win, he gets the ball, game-winning drive against the New York Giants in that game where, you know, Jason lamented Graham Gano went down without the injury. They didn't have a kicker. Well, I mean, they got lucky.
Joey's neighbors had a drop. Our favor.
But when he gets the ball with the chance to win the game,
they took advantage
he
of it.
He does it.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
Plus, the Giants were dumb because they knew their kicker was banged up and didn't have a backup plan.
Yes.
Right. Dumb move by
Listen,
them.
Listen, I told you he's going to the Hall of Fame. I mean, that's all you need to know. He's going to the Hall of Fame.
Well.
And he's got to keep us in games.
If he's going to the Hall of Fame, then maybe the gap is closing a lot quicker than people think.
Oh, he's definitely going to the Hall of Fame. Hall of Famer.
Well, the problem is
Saquon's going to Hall of Fame.
People will get bitter if I say this. Jalen Hurts might go to the Hall of Fame the way he's playing.
That's fine. I don't care about them.
Been to two Super Bowls
just
already.
Just say we got a Hall of Famer.
Yes. Coming up next, we're going to talk a little Nats baseball. Their all-star from a year ago closer, Kyle Finnegan, joins us here on the Junkies. Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. Remember, the Buckets and Bets promo will give you a keyword later this hour. You have a chance to head to the Hard Rock, Seminole, Hollywood, watch all the basketball games, place some bets, have a good time. So listen for the keyword later this hour. Joining us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline is Kyle Finnegan, who, of course, was an all-star a year ago, and he signed a new contract.
Look at that. Got him back in the fold.
Clap that up. Going to stay here in D.C. for a while. What's up, Kyle?
How's it going, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Of course.
Hey, man. Yeah, thanks for being
congrats,
on.
Congrats on your one-year, $6 million deal to get you back in with the Washington Nationals. Has to feel good to sign that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, free agency, my first trip through free agency, so to end up back with the Nats on a deal that I feel great about has been fun. It's exciting to see all the boys again, and we're here in beautiful Florida getting ready to go.
So you don't have to tell us the teams that you were talking to, your agent was talking to, but just kind of give us the idea of what that was like, because you don't know if you're coming back to Washington, you're a free agent, your agent's obviously trying to get you the best deal in a good situation. What's it like as a player? I mean, you kind of just waiting for calls from him, texting him back and forth every day, going, what's the deal? What was that like mentally?
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. You stay in touch almost on a daily basis. And, you know, initially when I became a free agent, you know, there were a bunch of teams that reached out just to kind of touch base and say, you know, we'll be in on you, you know, later on into the off season. So early on, it's very slow. And then around the winter meetings, you know, teams start to talk and things start to pick up, and it's kind of like waves of signings. Mm-hmm. So you just kind of monitor, you know, you stay in touch with the teams and you relay what you're looking for. You try to extract maybe where that team sees you. And, as names start to come off the board, you know, it starts to narrow and you find a team that you feel like is zeroed in on you. And that's kind of how it progresses. Mm-hmm. You know, my process took a little longer than most, but, you know, had lots of teams that were involved and, you know, just really taking my time to get the best deal possible.
Awesome.
Talking to Kyle Finnegan, who of course was an all-star a year ago. I kind of want to go back and go through your journey into Major League Baseball, because I think a lot of closers, most closers, probably start off as starters. And I think you started your minor league career as a starter. When did you make the transition to relief pitcher, and did that suck for you? I'm kind of wondering, because if you're a starter, maybe you want to continue being a starter. What's it been like over the years transitioning to closer?
Yeah, my first two full seasons in minor league ball, I was a starter and had some early success. I actually started the All-Star game my first full season as a starter. And then the following year,
who were you pitching for then?
I was in the Oakland Athletics organization, the Beloit Snappers in the Midwest.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Yeah, okay. Baby. And then my second year was not so great. I was in high A in the California League, and I threw a lot of innings. You know, I took the ball every 5 days and, you know, threw my four or five. Just happened to be giving up a few too many runs for their liking. So they thought that, you know, my stuff would play better in the bullpen. So I made the transition the following year, and I think it was 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And then really just, you know, kind of took off from there. Had a lot of success right away and was able to jump up a few levels fairly quickly once I transitioned to the bullpen.
How's your approach different as a reliever versus a starter? I mean, obviously you do different things kind of like for your body, et cetera. But what about just like setting up, you know, batters and that sort of thing? How does that change?
Yeah, absolutely. As a starter, you know, you're really aware of that you got to face these guys 2-3 times in a game. So, you know, you got to be aware of what pitches you're showing them, or, you know, not getting into patterns or repetitive. And as a reliever, it's kind of like, what are your best two pitches and how can you expose the hitter's weakness, you know, as quickly as possible? You know, you're only going to face them once most likely. So reliever is more so relying on your best stuff and just attacking the hitter with that. A starter is much more, you know, that mind game of keeping them off balance and, you know, remembering how you attacked them the last at bat. And so starter, much more of a mind game. Reliever is kind of like, you know, best on best.
So Kyle, I don't know if you've seen this viral clip of Eddie, I think it's Eddie Perez. Was he Greg Maddux's catcher? And they talk about how, I don't know if he did it for his entire career, but through many years, that Maddux was actually calling the game, right? And he called the game the way he caught the ball. So if his hand was, glove was open, then it meant something. If his glove was closed when the catcher was throwing it, it meant something. If he touched his mouth, that meant like breaking ball. And no one ever caught on to it, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen that clip or not. As a professional, like, what jumps out at you when you hear a story like that?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about one of the best to ever do it. The guy was just an absolute doctor out there. And
could you imagine doing that?
Yeah.
No, it's crazy. Like, how comfortable he was and how sure of himself he was on the mound to get away with something like that. It's just insane. Like, that guy just knew how good he was, and he was out there just, like, having fun, competing, playing a game.
Right.
So, you know, you go back and watch those clips, and it's just insane, like, what he was able to do.
Who was your guy growing up? Who was your favorite player? Did you grow up near Detroit? Were you a Michigan guy?
I was born in Detroit, but I actually grew up in Houston.
Oh, okay.
But my entire family, both my parents, all my extended family are from New York. Mm. So I grew up Yankees.
Wow.
We watched all the Yankees games. So it was Clemens, Pettit, all those guys. So I really enjoyed watching Andy Pettit.
Yeah.
So Kyle, for a guy that spent a lot of his years in Texas, you pitched at Texas State. I don't detect any sort of Texan accent. Like, did you just have it and lose it since you've been here in Washington? Like, I don't hear any of that in your voice.
No, I'm very much a mutt, I think. I got the Northeastern family and then, you know, grew up in Texas my whole life. So I think, I don't know what type of accent I have, but it's definitely not Texan.
That must be very cool, by the way, to get the All-Star nod for the first time in your career in Texas. Yeah. How cool was that last season?
Oh, it was awesome, especially, I was a super late addition to the team, so we were already in the middle of the All-Star break, and I got added on, you know, the day before the game. So, you know, that was one of two, you know, either Houston or Dallas were the only two places, like, my family could, you know, quickly get there. So it was a huge blessing that it was close to home, and I was still able to have, you know, 15, 20 family members make it out.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, as we're talking to Kyle Finnegan, closer for the Washington Nationals, about the outfield defense. So Dylan Cruz made a great play yesterday. He had played center field. He's not going to be playing center field because you got a great center fielder there. Talk about what it's like getting on the mound, knowing you have such great, at least, you know, outfield defense behind you.
Yeah, it frees you up to just attack the zone and you know, not nibble and feel like you got to strike everybody out. You know, when you have a great defense, you're just getting ahead of the hitter and staying on him. And if he hits it, you can trust that you've got guys that can catch it and throw it behind you. So, you know, watching what those young guys can do behind you has been fun. And they give us tons of confidence when we're on the mound to not worry about, you know, that we're not alone out there and that they got our backs.
Kyle, what do you make of your teammate Dylan Cruz's quote from yesterday? He said, "We're not waiting for the future anymore. The future is now," talking about the 2025 Nats.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's kind of been the vibe of camp is, you know, we were building and, you know, we're not coming, we're here now. So it's time to go. You know, our focus is on winning and nothing else. So we're definitely hungry and excited and can't wait to get up to DC and get this thing going.
So to talk about the starting rotation, the projected starting rotation and your thoughts about it with McKenzie, obviously is their number one. When he's on, he's just a stud. Jake Irvin, Mitchell Parker pitched really well last year. Trevor was hurt, but now he's back. Went out and got Soraka. So just kind of talk about the guys. I know they went out and signed a Japanese player. I'm not sure if he's a projected starter or bullpen, but just kind of talk about the rotation, especially at the top with Mac.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about McKenzie. I think you're talking about one of the next good ones in the game. he's got everything that you would want in a starter. And, you know, I think he's going to lead this rotation. And, you know, you had a guy like Soroka who, you know, almost won a Cy Young, was part of a great Braves team for so many years. So, you know, he's a guy that could be huge for us. And then of course, Trevor had an unbelievable year last year, when he was feeling good, and to have him back and feeling healthy will be huge. And then obviously, Irvin took a huge step forward last year, you know, taking the ball every fifth day and going out there and doing his thing. And then I think the difference this year than years past is we have lots of options, you know, behind those big four, that are going to help us throughout the entire year, you know, DJ Hers and Mitch and, Shinosuke. So
yeah,
I think we're in a really good spot.
Kyle, I'm curious. We've been to spring training. We didn't go this year. What are you doing with all your free time down there? Are you a big golfer? I know you got three kids. I don't know how that works for you during spring training, but closers, what are you doing during spring training?
Yeah, you know, the life of a reliever in spring training is pretty nice, I gotta say. Played a little golf a couple days ago, actually, so try to take advantage of that.
Can we bet on what you shot?
Let's just bet on his handicap. Oof.
Handicap.
Bet on his handicap.
No, let's bet on what he shot.
It might be his first outing.
I mean, Kyle, he definitely just let out an oof.
He did.
That means it wasn't good.
There was an oof there. I heard it.
Well, I give you
my handicap, right, and I tell you where I played, okay, and then you try to guess what I shot.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
All right, what's your handicap?
I'm a 13 handicap. So,
right.
You know, not
right.
Great.
Right.
Not great.
Solid.
And we played Panther National, which is, you know,
look it up.
It's a PGA. It's a PGA type course.
You know the slope? What's the slope?
Ooh, I do not know the slope.
All right, I'm gonna say 93.
All right, hold on. You're already in.
Yeah.
He's in with his guess.
13.
I'm gonna go over. I'll say 97.
I think you're in that range. It's in the 90s. I'm going to say 94.
Yeah,
94, I think.
94.
Right. It's a 147 slope, Valdez.
Ooh, that's difficult.
I don't know what that is.
I would say like 101.
101?
Oh, all right. What'd you shoot?
You got me sandwiched there. I think, you know, 96.
Okay. It'll get better.
I mean, first outing.
Not bad.
When are you playing?
Windy.
Yeah, yeah.
Windy.
When are you playing next?
We got nothing scheduled,
okay,
but you know, it's kind of like a day of type thing. It's like, what, you know, you see a couple guys in the clubhouse, you got anything going on today? Nope. All right, let's go play.
Doesn't McKenzie play a lot? I think he's pretty good, isn't he?
Yeah, McKenzie plays. He's good. So when I played 2 days ago, it was me, McKenzie, Nate Lowe and Riley.
Oh, cool.
All right. I want to real quick. We got to do, WITB.
Yeah, what's in the bag?
All right, are you a gearhead? Do you have new sticks? Like, what kind of driver are you playing? Come on, let's go through it.
So I got PXG has right. like a headquarters in Virginia.
Yeah.
So we got to go out there and like get the full full deal fitting and everything. So I got a full set of PXGs right now that I'm hitting, and then a Scotty putter.
Scotty putter. Oh, okay.
A mallet or blade. Yeah.
Such golf nerds.
Is that Newport Select or Newport 2.5?
Yeah, it's the 2.5. The
cigarettes
one.
Or golf clubs?
That's what I have.
What's happening?
Valdez trying to flex.
All right, very nice.
So Mac was the best golfer. Who's the worst golfer on the squad?
Oh, he's not.
Or do they just not get out there?
He's not going to do his guys dirty like that. Or maybe he will.
You know,
I don't know.
Of the guys that like play consistently, it's probably me that is worse. Honestly,
how often are you playing?
Well, it's because you got young kids at home, so in the off season you're always with the kids.
Are you playing in the off season?
I mean, early on in the off season, I play, you know, maybe 2-3 times a week, just, you know, nine holes before I pick the kids up. But as the baseball stuff picks up, you know, you just gotta. You know, I'm at the mercy of my wife during the off season, so
I got you.
Know, I like to hang out with her and do all the things she likes to do. So I play golf early and then not so much later in the off season.
Happy wife, happy life, right?
All right.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
Opening day is right around the corner, bro. Can you believe it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
All right. Congrats, dude. And look forward to seeing you this year.
Yeah, thanks for joining us,
man. All right, thanks, guys.
Yeah, it's Kyle Finnegan, who a couple seasons ago had an immaculate inning. Do you know what that is, Cakes?
Immaculate inning.
Oh. Yeah.
Come on, baseball Cakes.
I do know what that is.
Baseball Cakes.
Is it three pitches? Three pitches and three outs? Or
it'd be nine pitches. Yeah. But
nine pitches.
Yes. Strikeout. Oh, no balls. Okay.
No, yeah, three pitches.
Well, what about just batter? Three pitches?
Yeah, three pitches, three foul tips, you're out. That should be your immaculate inning.
How's that an inning? That's not considered.
Well, no, your catcher catches it.
Oh, okay.
Three out. Straight batter.
Gotcha. That's actually better.
It's way better.
One up to you.
Baseball Cakes is all over.
Well, find out the term for that.
Oh, there is no term. I just made it up.
Do you think it's ever happened in the history of life?
Yes.
Yes. 100%.
Three pitches, three outs?
Yes.
No, not three pitches, three outs. Three foul tip outs.
Probably.
The catcher.
Baseball's been around for a million years.
It didn't have to be that specific. I just meant like a pop fly.
Well, it'd have to be a foul ball, not a foul tip, because you have to catch that on the third strike.
Yeah, pop up.
According to the story, there have been several.
Well, why does it have to be a foul tip?
Three pitch innings.
It doesn't. He's right. Yeah.
Three pitch innings. That's your immaculate.
That's happened several times, according to AI.
Everything has happened.
Three
ground balls. Of course, that could happen easy.
Everything has happened.
All right, remember, we'll give you the keyword for buckets and bets coming up shortly. We're the Junkies. Don't go anywhere. Coming up in 3 minutes, Cakes, I'll give you the keyword for our buckets and bets promo.
Yep.
Want to send you to the Hard Rock, Seminole, Hollywood, and get you there to watch all the games for the big tournament.
Yep. Hollywood, Florida, the home of Steve Blake.
Nice.
Where he's from.
So that's coming up in 3 minutes.
Doing now.
Should mention that during the break, it looked like Cakes and Valdez, and I only saw this for a second, were battling it out over a t-shirt. Here's my answer for both of you.
Okay, yes.
Whoever doesn't get said t-shirt goes to 1067thefanshop.com and purchases
great idea.
A Crab 5 t-shirt. So if Valdez walks away with the shirt, which you were eyeing for one of your boys or yourself.
I was going to give it to Kurt.
You go to... Yeah, 1067thefanshop.com.
I think if we're gonna if we're gonna play for it, we're playing foosball for it. That might be the move. The foosball
grudge match.
We're even now. Valdez won in a best of one the first go around, and then I took care of him. I think it was yesterday.
We took care of him. Sounds like it was beyond one.
Was it 3-1?
3-1. We played the three.
Oh, see, one significant margin there. So you're feeling confident.
No, I like the foosball table as an addition to the game room. I've yet to use the air hockey table. Yeah.
Well, the air hockey table it's a kid's version.
Yeah, but it's
maybe
fine.
The foosball table is too.
Look, again, this is not a Dave and Buster's. This is a place of work. Okay.
It does feel like you're walking by a pediatrician's office or something.
Bit, yeah.
Yesterday, speaking of a place of work, I dressed up a little nicer.
Yeah.
And it was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And Drab pulled me aside and he said, "I have a little unsolicited advice for you."
Okay.
Fashion-wise.
Right.
And he grilled my coat. He says there's kind of an update on that. So what is going on here? You told me that I need to bring in a pea
coat
to go with my coat, to go with my fit yesterday.
No, there's not really an update. First, I'm glad that you did not wear your Barstool jacket to the Odyssey client meeting last night.
Yeah, you couldn't have done that.
It's a Sup Dogs jacket.
Okay, right. Barstool's best bar, right. Sup Dogs edition. All right. Mm-hmm. But I did think of JP when I saw this headline, and you guys know that Valdez and I love the New York Post, and they always have juicy headlines.
Page six.
I thought of JP when I saw this headline. It said, "I quit shopping, and I started dumpster diving for almost everything. I've saved $50,000 in just 2 years."
Wow.
What do you mean, like, dumpster diving?
Well, how the hell
diving?
Were they spending $25,000 a year on clothes?
Literally dumpster diving?
A woman who ditched a good job to pursue her passion for dumpster diving claims to have saved $50,000 on clothing and other essential items in just 2 years. So every day or most days, she's going around. She's found a treasure trove of books, toys, other reusable items.
I see the picture. She's got a nice Stitch backpack there.
And here's my favorite part. Her biggest hauls come from the dumpsters behind TJ Maxx and Home Goods.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Oh, now this is epiphany.
Next level.
Go ahead.
She also loves a store called HomeSense, which I'm not quite sure what it is, but she says HomeSense has the best stores because everything that goes in this dumpster still has the tags on them.
Hmm.
All the items are brand new. Most things I find should not be in the dumpster.
Wow.
Yeah, so hold
just,
on.
Wouldn't you feel like just a real number?
Why are they throwing away new...
open a dumpster lid and climbing in or surveying what's inside?
Well, if you think about it, I mean, yes, that part is trifling.
Feel dumb.
But how many times have you thrown away, I've done it, pretty much unused nice things?
I mean,
I've done it a lot. I've actually gone to the Rockville dump.
You're talking about like clothing or like just like household items? Like,
well, like a backpack, something like that. I don't know.
I mean,
I think it happens way more than you think.
I tend to give that stuff away to like Goodwill or
I give
drop
away.
It off to a place. Like, I just feel, I would feel nubby if I went to the only TJ Maxx and found their dumpster and climbed in just looking for the deals in the store.
I'm actually, perturbed by that. So,
but if you're finding a hoodie in the dumpster and you just run it through the wash one time.
I can't. I'll never do it. Okay, I'm not going to dumpster dive.
Yeah, I would feel like
never
a giant
in my life.
Number.
I'd rather starve. I'd rather lay next to Gene Hackman. Okay, and get mummified. I'm not going to dumpster dive. Hey. But they throw. So hold on. So like retail establishments, like retail restaurants, like throw away food at the end of the night. Yeah. They throw away like
that doesn't
clothes?
Make any sense.
That they doesn't even make sense.
We have so many racks, EB.
Yeah. You got to make room for
so
all the other stuff.
Literally trash.
Well,
it
might be expiring stuff. It might be lotions. It might be Easter stuff.
Okay.
Seasonal.
Like seasonal merchandise.
Yeah, maybe it's
I'm
not clothes.
Sure. It could be.
It could
they
be clothes.
Purge
yeah.
their jackets soon.
I know they should donate them, but maybe they just it's easier for them to just throw stuff in the dumpster.
This is actually my favorite line of the article. It says it's talking about a couple different. People here, and it says one litter lover even found the love of his life in a hopeless place, meeting his wife at the bottom of a trash receptacle in Buffalo.
You're kidding. I mean,
that's
weird. True love.
That's really going above and beyond to find your mate.
I like the alliteration too. It was a literal lover finding the love of his life.
Yeah, a lot of L's.
I have an idea, but I need you guys to buy in.
Okay.
I think every one of us. All right, Friday, we do a big reveal.
Okay.
Someone go find the best item they can in a dumpster, and we unveil it and see who wins.
A show and tell.
I'd be down to do it, but don't they have, like, signs all over dumpsters, like, don't put anything in, no dumping allowed.
I'm sorry.
You're not a climate.
I'm too germ phobic for that.
Come on.
Like, I'm not even germ phobic. Give me all the viruses. I can't go in. I can't go in a dumpster.
Plastic gloves on.
Yeah.
There could be poop in there or something.
You could reach
I can't
over.
Do it.
Yeah.
You don't have to jump in.
It makes me want to vomit.
Just take a look inside the dumpster.
Find one that's filled to the top.
I'll go to a Goodwill or something.
No, dumpster.
I can't get in a dumpster.
I would at least look.
Will you do
know
it?
If climb in, but I would look.
I'll go for it.
You will?
Listen, sure. I don't want
someone bring in the best item you
just
can find.
Just go to the Goodwill and say.
But is the dumpster diving? Let me ask you this. It looks like just from the picture that the dumpster diver is taking out trash bags and opening trash bags. Like, I'm not really into that.
Well, you don't have to do that. Yeah. I'm not saying you need your hands covered in trash juice.
What do people duty at TJ Maxx and Marshall's? We've talked about it.
What happens when the cop, of course, comes up on me when I'm dumpster diving?
I'm doing a bit.
I'm just doing a bit. And he's going to let
radio
me
bit.
Just go.
I'm just going, have you ever heard of the Junkies? Have you ever heard of Cakes?
I'm doing a sports show. You ever heard of it?
So, JP, you're in.
Sure.
Cakes, I'm in. Drab.
I already know the dumpster I'm going.
But I need the weekend. I can't do it by Friday.
Yeah,
I need to
we
scout.
We have a whole weekend to scour.
All right, okay.
I'll freaking go to TJ Maxx. That'll be the first time I've gone to TJ Maxx in years.
Right, so Monday we'll do our big reveal.
Yes, that works.
Okay. I'm just going to go to a dumpster or a Goodwill and just say I got it from a dumpster.
Oh, come on, man.
I'm not diving in a dumpster.
Teresa will do it. She'll probably.
I don't even know what dumpster to go
Teresa
to.
Teresa the dumpster? Yeah. Took him out with 10 things.
Commit to the
one.
Bit.
All right, I'll find something on Monday.
Hey, we need to give you the keyword. Of course, you can win a trip for the ultimate college basketball viewing experience March 20th through the 23rd. Odyssey's Buckets and Bets at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. Hollywood is your destination for tip-off weekend. Enter now with the keyword block at thefandc.com. Theteam980.com, thefanrichmond.com for your chance to win. The keyword is block. We're the Junkies. We'll come back with EB's entertainment page next here on The Junks.